Mark chapter 13. We left off at verse 23, so we'll pick up in verse 24. It says, in those days after that tribulation, the sun shall be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, stars of heaven shall fall, the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. Then shall they see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then in those days shall he send his angels and gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of earth to the uttermost part of heaven. That is not where we are at presently. For everybody's trying to get their bearings. This is not Armageddon. It is not the beginning of Armageddon. It is a slight taste of what the rest of the world experiences on a daily basis. It is a wake-up call for us. Not for the unbelievers, for us. God never judged Israel for what the Canaanite was doing. He judged Israel in regards to what the Israelite was doing and where their hearts were. We're at least 7 years away from Armageddon. The whole process of a peace treaty being signed in the Middle East by the Antichrist has to precipitate that seven-year period. That has not yet begun. This is not Armageddon. At that point in time, the sun will refuse to shine. The moon will be turned to blood. The stars will apparently fall from heaven. God will send forth his angels to gather his elect, speaking of Israel, from the four winds of heaven, the four points of the compass, gathering them back to Jerusalem. You can find that in Isaiah 11:11. Find it in Deuteronomy chapter 30. There are many places in the Old Testament that speak of the Jews as God's elect. The term is used of the church also. The context here is then, those days, the church already gone, when God will gather his elect, Israel, back to the land from the four points of the compass. Then it tells us, now learn a parable of the fig tree. Verse 28. When her branch is yet tender, put it forth her leaves, you know that summer is near. Basic thing that you recognize in spring, summer's coming. So ye, in like manner, when you shall see these things come to pass, know that it is nigh, even at the doors. Verily, I say unto you that this generation shall not pass till these things be done. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Learn a parable of the fig tree. He's going to tell us now here there's certain things we do know, certain things we don't know. We need to respond to both of those in the proper way. One thing we do know is there is something we can learn in regards to spring preceding summer. Basic rule that everybody should recognize. We love spring because the flowers begin to bud, trees put forth their buds, the migrating birds return, and there's a robin. You know, just those kinds of things. Just hark of the fact that we're moving into another season. And of course, that's the lesson that lays on the surface. But he says, learn the parable of the fig tree. Hosea chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. Joel chapter 1 verse 6, Jeremiah chapter 24 verses 1 to 6, number of places in the Old Testament specifically speak of the nation of Israel as God's fig tree. So one of the things, the thing that determines the prophetic calendar is the nation of Israel. When you see the fig tree put forth her buds, 1948, these people become a nation again. This generation shall not pass. Well, we've tried to interpret that in all kinds of ways. What does that mean? Well, it could have been Peter and James and John. That generation has been long gone. Well, then everybody wants to figure out how long a generation. Well, a generation is 40 years. Who told you that? The generation that perished in the wilderness was 38 years they wandered after they turned away and then they perished. We have a 100-year generation in Genesis 15 that God would take the children of Israel down into Egypt and for 400 years, and the fourth generation he would bring them out. Well, I don't want to wait 100 years from 1948 to get out of here. So I don't like that theory. This generation, well, people said, well, it's 40 years. So from 1948 to 1988, the world's supposed to end in 88. We're pre-tribulation, so we back up 7 years. We need to be out here by 81. That didn't work. Well, then it has to be 67. That's when they took Jerusalem. Let's move forward, 2007. Let's back up. So, well, that doesn't work anymore either. This generation shall not pass. The word is genos. It's also used of family, race, tribe. Jesus, I think, is saying for 2,000 years, all intent and purposes, the Jew will have disappeared, not having his own land, Israel gone, driven through all of the nations of the world, dispersed. But when you see it bud forth and come back to life again, when you see the nation of Israel end up back in the center of the daily news, and that's what's happening today. It isn't Manhattan. It's Israel. That's where the news is springing from. That's where the contention is springing from. This is a spiritual battle. Then know. Then you're in the season. Then you moved into the time, the era, like spring goes to summer, when the Jews are back in the land, when they're in possession of Jerusalem again, when the whole world is trembling, and he said he would make Jerusalem like a cup of trembling, like a stumbling stone, nobody being able to negotiate the problem away. That's where we are today. And he said that in a very remarkable way. This genos, this race, shall not pass until all of these things fulfilled. When you see them become a reality again, the clock is ticking. And I think clearly that's what he's speaking of. He says, of the day and of the hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son in his incarnation, in his humanity. He knows now, but as he was speaking. But the Father, take ye heed. Now look, watch and pray, for you know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, to every man his work, and commanded the porter, the gatekeeper, here it is again, to watch. Here it is the third time. Watch ye therefore, for you know not when the master of the house cometh, at evening or at midnight, or cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all. That's how we know this is written to us. We are part of the all. What I say unto you, I say unto all. Here it is for the fourth time. Watch. That's the challenge for us in the day we're living in. Watch. We look to what's going on. Where is it? How is it relevant to us as we see what's happening? What are the lessons? Is this God's judgment? That's the big question, isn't it? You're hearing it on the news. Is this God's judgment on America? And of course, you can't say yeah and have the unbelieving world interpret that in the way it needs to be interpreted. I'm always amazed at the wisdom of Billy Graham in these circumstances. Is it God's judgment? Well, in some way, maybe. I think it's God's grace in a remarkable way. You know, we've decided as a nation we want him out of our lives. We've legislated him out of our schools. Don't use the word God. Don't pray. Don't be narrow. You have to be inclusive. You can't mention the word Jesus. University's right here in the area. You can't refer to God as him anymore in the masculine gender. No more nativity scenes allowed up. They're offensive. The networks decided that they're going to start to show nudity on the major networks in the evenings while your children are still awake. They've basically made their announcement, given warning, that they're going to start to take the name of the Lord in vain. They're going to start to use blasphemous terms in regards to the Lord. Oh, they won't do it in regards to Muhammad or Allah, but Jesus Christ and the God that we believe in. And we have been struggling as a nation to get God's hand off of our lives, prying his fingers off of us. Let us alone. We want to live without you. Well, he took his hand off of us for about an hour, and we saw what it was like to be a nation without God's hand on us for 1 hour. Is that his judgment? No, it's tremendous grace, because he put it back on immediately. The Space Needle was supposed to go down that day. The nuclear plant in Seattle was supposed to go up that day. The Golden Gate Bridge was supposed to go down that day. Planes were supposed to crash into Los Angeles the same way they went into New York that day. The Naval Warfare Department in San Diego was supposed to be hit that day. He took it off for an hour and put it back on. And when you think of the minimalness of what took place, not the individual pain to people who have lost loved ones, that's incomprehensible to us. To have lost a husband or a child or a parent. 5,000 people dead, that's like second and third service disappearing, and every kid on that side of the wall in Sunday school either losing both parents or one parent. It's unimaginable. But compared to what could have taken place, 50,000 people working in those buildings, 140,000 visitors every day, and 5,000 people gone. Not 50,000, not 600,000. It's a wake-up call. It's a warning. How did it cause us to take inventory? What toaster we're buying doesn't seem so important anymore, does it? So God's judgment, I don't know, it was terrorism. God was gracious to stop it where he stopped it. Now we need to pray for our leaders. We need to pray for our nation. We're going to war. Our nation has been told that Baghdad was one of the huge funders behind this whole thing. What will happen this week in Baghdad? In Afghanistan? We're getting a geography lesson that we never paid attention to when we were in high school, many of us. What are we supposed to learn? I'll tell you this, it's an unprecedented time to share the love of God. Isn't it interesting to hear people who have been so biased and deliberately antagonistic to the things of God using words like prayer, thanking God, the ACLU, strangely silent all week as liberals are talking about seeking God and praying all week long. The doors are wide open right now. The question is, what will you and I do with the opportunity that we have? I have been rebuked by the commitment of the men who did this terrible thing. Not by their deed. It appalls me. But these men dedicated themselves, trained, gave their time, their energy for a God who is no God. They died thinking they were going to paradise, which is an illusion. Their paradise is not paradise. When I look at the level of commitment and the fact they were willing to lay down their lives for what they believed in, and I think I have the real God and the real paradise and live my life cooler than I should be living, live my life with more compromise than I should be living. I look at what they did without reality, and it rebukes me and all of us. The things we argued about a week ago no longer so important. And God being so gracious then to talk to us and have us take inventory and have us sit back and say, oh, Lord, forgive me. I've gotten things so far out of perspective of what is important and what is not important, what is lasting and what is not lasting, what will still be standing when the things that cannot be shaken remain. What will those things be? Lord, that's what I want to give myself to. That is spiritual health. And I hope he breathes it through the entire church in this nation and around the world. Because now the door is open to an unbelieving world who have been shaken, who have no anchor, no security. We're going back and reading those passages like, oh yeah, that's right, Lord. Am I freaked out and worried? Well, I live my life freaked out. Am I worried? No. It stirs around in me, but I know this. The Lord is my shepherd. He's my father. He holds the world in the palm of his hand. He laid out the heaven with the span of his fingers, the universe. I'm his bride. He's my groom. I said goodbye to my son in California. It took us 43 hours to drive across the United States. I said goodbye to him there. He's a man. He's ready to lay down his life for Christ. I love him more than I ever loved him. And if I had the power and I knew a nuke was going to hit there, I would reach right over and lift him out of there. And I think that's what our Father's going to do. He's going to lift us out. Now look, the rapture may happen 50 years from now. I don't have any secret inside information. I know this, Monday's Rosh Hashanah, the Feast of Trumpets, and that's fine with me. I mean, that kind of timing works on my schedule. I could put off the rest of the week, you know, I'll cancel my other appointments, that's fine. This thing may go nuclear. The man who heads up the tactical nuclear department for our military is a saved, born-again Calvary Chapel man. He was called up the day it was happened. He's called. He's gone. His wife doesn't know where he is. The president has made prepared statements to give to the other nations of the world as soon as we act, explaining, and I don't know what it says, explaining to them why we did what we did. So he's going to have to make planning on making some major statement about his actions. That can happen tonight. If it happens tomorrow, come to church. We'll be here. We'll keep it open this week. We'll pray. But what a great time for us to take inventory again, to look at our lives, to watch. To watch. Watch for what? Well, watch for his coming. That's what he's talking about. There are things we do know and there are things we don't know. We know from the time the Antichrist signs a 7-year peace treaty in the Middle East. It will be 7 years to the day to when Christ comes. It'll tell us from the time the Antichrist then betrays the world and claims that he's God and goes to the temple, which has to be rebuilt. So we're nowhere near Armageddon. The Jews will be given the right to sacrifice again. Somebody will come running in to bring a semblance of peace, this deceiver, this Antichrist. And from the time it says he goes into the temple, the abomination that maketh desolate, because from the time he proclaims himself to be God, that's an abomination, it will make the next 3.5 years the great tribulation. Desolation will be in the earth because of what happens then. And that will be 1,260 days to the day when Jesus returns. So we know. What's he talking about? We don't know. What we don't know is whether he will come for his bride this afternoon, tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, 10 years from now. We know how we should be living in light of that fact. But we don't take it seriously unless the World Trade Towers are going down on our television screen and we're saying, my God, this is happening in our own nation. It's happening in our lives. Our lives, Tuesday morning, were changed. They will never be the same again. But the door that has been opened for God's work and God's word to go forward is incredible. People everywhere are asking, is this Armageddon? Is it this? Is it that? You have the answers. This is a wake-up call to God's church. It's a wake-up call to you and I, who all along should have been living a certain way with a certain urgency because we had all the information. But Jesus said, when you see these things, then you will know. And I know your hearts were stirred the way mine was Tuesday, looking, thinking, is this going to precipitate? They fit the World Trade Towers, they've hit the Pentagon. Where's this going to go now? Are nukes going to go off? Am I going to see my wife and kids again in this world? What will happen? What happens next? And it stopped us all in our tracks, our busy lives, our plans, which seem so meaningless now in many ways. The things that we were arguing with our wives and our kids and seem so stupid now. My exhortation is, let's let it clean us out. Let's let it leave us with a perspective again. Is what is really necessary now in my life? What is, now I'll worry next summer about next summer. What about this week? Let's pray for our president, our leaders. We're going to war. What does that mean? Will our sons be called up and our daughters? What will take place? I don't know. But I know that there is a spiritual backdrop to all of this. It isn't just terrorism and news. It is a time that God said we would enter into. It is a time when the hearts of men and women have been opened because they've been shocked. It's a time that you and I now have been chosen for. Such a time as this, just like Esther. God has placed us in this hour, in this time, to share the good news of Jesus Christ with those that are around us. And that would be my exhortation to you today. I'm going to have the musician.